Chapter 5 The Woodshed. The next morning, angry voices coming from the other room woke Willie. His head still ached, and he could not focus clearly on the words at first. Although he heard only muffled sounds, by their harshness and volume he could tell that someone was very upset. He walked slowly to the door to investigate the disturbance. Cracking the door just a bit, he peeked into the living room. There, screaming as if she was some sort of insane person, stood the woman that he had seen with Jesse in the tavern. As the fog slowly lifted from his brain, her words became frightfully clear.
"I saw what your little brat did to Jesse, and if you want to keep him from the law, you will pay me what I said."
"I told you, we just don't have that kind of money,"
Willie's mother pleaded, wringing the tail of her apron nervously.
"If that thieving husband of yours hadn't stolen the silver brooch from my dresser last night, your boy would have got by with murder. When I found my brooch missing, I went chasing after him to get it back."
"Surely, you must be mistaken. Little Willie is just a boy. He could not kill a man as big as Jesse."
"Well, kill him. He did, and I saw him do it with my own eyes, plain as day. I was just about to bridge when I saw your boy tie that broken-down old horse to the rail, then push Jesse into the creek. I also saw him finish Jesse off with a headbutt when Jesse tried to climb the creek bank. I heard Jesse's nose break like a green stick from where I hid in the bushes."
"The sheriff done said it was Bessie's head what broke Jesse's nose."
"That damn horse had nothing to do with it. That boy of yours killed Jesse, and you know it. You were just trying to cover for him. Let's go into town right now and have Doc take a good look at your boy's head. I bet he won't find any horseshoe print on the little bastard's thick skull."
"Where am I supposed to get $100?
"Your old man said he had a buyer for this lady coming next week. We can settle up then. I'm sure this farm will bring no less than $200 or $300, maybe. Whatever you get, I'll take half, and you get to keep your boy alive."
"How do I know that you will keep your end of the bargain?"
"If you and your boy get put in prison, then the state gets the land or the money, and I don't get anything. So it looked like we were going to have to be partners if either of us is to get anything out of Jesse's death. I'll lock him in the woodshed behind the tavern until we conclude our business. The night of the sale, we will meet on the Willow Creek Bridge at midnight. You give me my half, and I give you your boy back."
Looking straight at Willie through the crack in the door, he instinctively took a small step backwards, as if the evil stare this creature just gave him might snatch the soul from his body.
"No!"
The thought of this woman locking her son away horrified her.
"It's either that, or I go straight to the sheriff right now and tell him what I thought. So, little missy, do you want to have the sheriffs to lock your brat up, or me?"
"Won't the tavern owner wonder what you are doing locking my son in his shed?"
"I'll just tell Big Mike I'm holding your boy as collateral for the money your old man owed me, and that you're going ahead with the sale of the farm because you got no man. Your husband owes Mike, too. I'm sure he will go along with it."
"But you said the buyer won't be here until next week. Why can't my son stay with me until he arrives?"
"'Cause you might just decide to try to kill me like your boy did Jesse."
Then, in one sudden movement, she drew a small derringer from her handbag, turned and pointed it at Willie's head. He shut his eyes tightly, expecting the piercing pain of a bullet.
"One thing my line of work has taught me is that you don't ever trust anyone if there is money involved."
As she now pointed her gun at Willie's mother, Sophie had the look of a cold-blooded killer in her eyes. Willie and his mother had little choice but to comply with her demands. They had much more to lose. Sophie would only lose money if things did not go as planned. They, on the other hand, could lose their life. Willie's father would understand them having to give up the farm under these circumstances. In fact, he was sure that he would have insisted that they save themselves at all costs. They could always start over somewhere far from here. Willie would work extra hard to make up for the loss of the farm. Willie's mother gave him a blanket and his father's old cloak to wear. Unseen by his captor, she slipped his father's hunting knife into the inside pocket. If things went wrong with this deal, she wanted to give her son the opportunity to try to save himself.
"Please feed him,"
as the woman and Willie started down the road toward town.
"You just make damn sure you show up at that bridge with my money, or I'll feed your brat all right. I'll feed him a bullet."
From her angry tone, they both knew she meant it. When Sophie and Willie neared the town, they got off the road and cut through the woods to the back of the tavern. As she roughly pushed him into the woodshed, Sophie told him to sit down and be still until she returned. After slamming the door, she propped a big stick against it to prevent his escaping. Willie did as ordered and sat on the damp dirt floor. The shed smelled of old wood and mildew. A large spider web occupied one corner near the roof. The being still part was easy, because as soon as she left, he curled up in his blanket and fell asleep. He was still exhausted from the happenings of the night before, and in sleep he escaped the reality of his situation. Little Willie slept all day and did not awaken until after sundown. He might have slept longer, but hunger and thirst woke him. His mouth was so dry that he could barely swallow. Willie hoped that his captor returned soon with something, at least some water. He stood and then stretched. Through the cracks in the door, he could see the light coming from the back window of the tavern. The sound of people talking meant that customers were still inside. He was sure Sophie would not risk anyone seeing her bringing him anything until the last one had gone home. Willie felt around in the dark and surveyed his prison. Then he remembered the knife that his mother had slipped him and used it to dig a shallow depression in the dirt floor of the shed. Willie then placed the knife in the hole and covered it. He could have easily used it to tunnel his way under the shed wall, but now was not the time to be thinking only of himself. If he ran away, his mother would be at this woman's mercy, alone. No, he had to stick it out and see how things developed. Maybe everything would still work out fine. Around midnight, Sophie returned with some food and two buckets. One contained water and a dipper. The other was to be his toilet.
"Make that last, boy. I won't be back until this time tomorrow night."
She then slammed the door and repositioned the stick. Through one of the cracks in the door, Willie watched her go back inside. Soon the tavern became completely dark, and he felt all alone. He slumped to the dirt floor of his prison and cried softly for several minutes. Remembering her order for total silence, Willie muffled his sobs with the sleeve of his father's old coat. The strain of choking back tears made his throat burn. Then he remembered the bucket Sophie had left him. He was so thirsty that he drank several dipperfuls before he could stop. The cool water tasted good and helped soothe his irritated throat. He had never paid much attention as to how water tasted before. Water was just something he took for granted. Now he had to conserve his supplies. These meager rations and the remaining water in the bucket had to last him 24 hours.